We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Go episode 781 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. It is day two of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period, off quite the day one for the Commanders. The reported free agent acquisitions for our team on Monday, in the order in which the news broke. Take a deep breath. Here we go. Edge defender Dorrance Armstrong Jr. from the Dallas Cowboys. Center Tyler Biadasz from the Dallas Cowboys. Linebacker Frankie Louvu from the Carolina Panthers. Running back Austin Eckler from the Los Angeles Chargers. Kicker Brandon McManus from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and guard Nick Allegretti from the Kansas City Chiefs. Six free agent acquisitions for the Commanders on day one of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period. The reported departures for the Commanders on Monday, in the order in which the news broke: running back Antonio Gibson to the New England Patriots, quarterback Jacoby Brissett to the New England Patriots. Yeah, the Pats are raiding our team. And then there was all that went on throughout the rest of the NFL. The New York Giants reportedly agreeing on a trade for Panthers edge defender Brian Burns. The Philadelphia Eagles reportedly agreeing on a contract with Giants unrestricted free agent running back Saquon Barkley. And you know who getting paid once again, agreeing with the Atlanta Falcons on a reported four-year, $180 million contract with $100 million guaranteed. I tell you what, you know who knows how to get paid like maybe nobody else in the history of the NFL. And as I posted on X on Monday afternoon, you know who and another former Washington quarterback, Taylor Heineke, now are both on the Falcons, now are on the same team. Think about that. The two greatest sources of Twitter arguments for Washington fans over the last decade have joined forces. This is the ultimate dream team, the ultimate duo. Hello and welcome to this Tuesday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Well, coming up on the show, reaction to and analysis of each of these six free agent acquisitions by the Commanders on Monday. Has our team taken any big swings in free agency so far? Not really, but a lot of swings have been taken. General Manager Adam Peters has been working. I'll give you what we know about the contracts for these players. I'll take you through the key stats for these players, and I'll discuss what I believe the Commanders are thinking with these players. A very busy day one of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period for the Commanders. Also on the show, I'll talk Capitals. They on Monday night began a five-game road trip in a not-so-good way. 3-0 loss at the Winnipeg Jets in a game in which the Caps got ravaged in the puck possession battle. Before we get to feedback, congratulations to James Madison University men's basketball. It has won the 2024 Sun Belt Conference Tournament and has earned an automatic bid to the 2024 NCAA Tournament. The Dukes routed Arkansas State. The Dukes routed the Red Wolves 91-71 in Pensacola, Florida in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament Final on Monday night. JMU will enter the NCAA Tournament on a 13-game winning streak, which is the longest active winning streak in Division I men's basketball. I, on Monday's show, episode 780, wondered if this year's NCAA Tournament might not have any teams from the Mid-Atlantic region. Well, at least one team from the region is going to the NCAA tournament. What a season for JMU. Now, I know that there is all kinds of talk that the Dukes head coach, Mark Byington, is going to be leaving to become West Virginia's head coach. But if you are a JMU fan, a tremendous 2023 season for JMU football, and now this great 2023-2024 season for JMU men's basketball. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. From James on X regarding Washington's not-so-great history in modern NFL free agency, writes James, as a Washington fan, I am somewhat jaded. Free agency has not always gone well. New leadership, perhaps this changes. Thank you for that, James. I hear you. I do. This offseason is offseason number 32 of modern free agency in the NFL. The overall body of work by Washington in free agency over those first 31 offseasons, 1993 through 2023, not so good. But our team, of course, is under new management, so the mistakes of the past have no bearing on what is done in the now. Free agency can be a very good thing. It's not how you should build your team, but free agency can and should be how you enhance your team. We, as Washington fans, have been conditioned to view free agency as this, like, four-letter word, okay? It isn't. It just has to be done in a good way. And speaking of that, from A.E. Eckert on X, on perhaps Washington's best free agent class in modern NFL free agency, the 2004 class, which featured interior defensive lineman Cornelius Griffin and Philip Daniels, linebacker Marcus Washington, and corner Sean Springs. I, on Monday's show, episode 780, brought up the Redskins' 2004 free agent class. That group helped to transform the Skins' defense into being very good in three of the next four seasons, 2004, 2005, and 2007. The Skins' 2006 defense was really bad, but those 04, 05, and 07 defenses were really good. Writes A.E. Eckert of the Skins' 2004 free agent class, I remember this one was in Europe during that week and went into a cyber cafe to email home and look online. Was cool without social media to just log onto ESPN and the Washington Post and see the signings. Thank you for that, AE. Yeah, that 2004 offseason was the first in the return of Joe Gibbs, the Skins head coach. And remember, Joe, in his second go-round with the Skins, had player personnel control. He officially was the Skins head coach and team president. Ain't that right, Joe? Yes, thank you, Joe. The classic Joe Gibbs laugh. And that legitimately is a Joe Gibbs laugh. Email from Robert Schaefer in Warsaw, Poland. Writes Robert, over a year ago, I suggested that the hiring of Eric Bieniemy created a palpable feeling amongst fans, even across the Atlantic here in Warsaw. Palpable, huh? My bad. So I won't get into the hype train created by the hirings of Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, though the mention of DQ does get me jonesing for a peanut butter parfait every time. I do want to pump the brakes, though. Everyone has spent so much time slobbering over Adam Peters' draft success, but a closer inspection dictates as many misses as hits, not a lot of success in high rounds and trading up more often than trading down. We are glomming onto the late round hits. Well, hooray for those. The draft strategy will be dictated by the free agents signed. That will further clarify the holes that need filling. My fingers are crossed that this new administration has embraced analytics to understand that only a percentage of picks contribute, and thus the base need is to increase the overall number of picks. Does this mean a trade back from two? I'd do all that I could to sniff out what New England wants and find a way to move back one spot. Thank you for the email, Robert. I hope that all is well in Warsaw. Robert is not alone in having been excited by the Commanders hiring Eric Bieniemy as assistant head coach / offensive coordinator now 2 Februaries ago. I was excited about that, but quite clearly, EB in D.C. did not work out. The San Francisco 49ers draft track record over Adam Peters' 7 years as an executive with the team is impressive. Perfect, no. Nobody bats 1,000 in the NFL draft, but compare what the Niners got from their 2017 through 2023 drafts with what most other teams got from their 2017 through 2023 drafts. If you just go by Associated Press first team and second team All-Pro honors, the Niners for the 2017 through 2023 regular seasons had 6 players who were drafted by the team who earned first team and or second team All-Pro honors for the Niners. 6 players over 7 seasons. That's pretty good, and that doesn't include someone like quarterback Brock Purdy, who the Niners took with the very last pick in the 2022 draft. I'm not a believer in drafting for need, so I actually don't think that what the Commanders are doing in free agency should impact what they do in the 2024 draft. They should draft in accordance with the philosophy of BPA, best player available. But I do very much agree with Robert in saying that I hope that the Commanders' new football operations regime is big on analytics. Now, neither general manager Adam Peters nor assistant general manager Lance Newmark is known as an analytics guy. Each guy is known as a scouting guy, but each guy did come from a team known for being in on analytics. Peters, the Niners, Newmark, the Detroit Lions, and B, the Commanders do have Eugene Shen as their senior vice president of football strategy. He's in charge of their analytics, and he was hired by managing partner Josh Harris months before he hired Peters and Newmark. The hiring of Shen was announced this past October 26. Shen has power, not as much power as Peters or Newmark has, but Shen is a significant person in the Commanders' front office. And the most significant catering service in the DMV is Catering by Uptown, and Catering by Uptown, through the end of March, is offering a special deal for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Visit cateringbyuptown.com, set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues, and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. If you're planning a wedding, you want great service, but you also want a great price. Catering by Uptown provides both. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Catering by Uptown also can help you if you're planning a party or a corporate event. Catering by Uptown is a family business. Great service, amazing cuisine, and reliability are the foundation of what makes Catering by Uptown one of the most referred caterers throughout Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. Whether you are planning a wedding, a birthday, anniversary, or retirement celebration, a charity gala, whatever, put Catering by Uptown to work for you. Catering by Uptown understands that special events deserve to be celebrated in style. Catering by Uptown takes care of every detail so that you can enjoy your event. From putting together and executing a menu to picking linens to selecting an excellent florist, Catering by Uptown is committed to meeting your needs and exceeding your expectations. And don't forget about the great offer for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Just visit cateringbyuptown.com, set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues, and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. That's cateringbyuptown.com, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. So did you enjoy your Monday, your legal tempering Monday? It was on Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern that we had the start of the NFL's legal tempering period, a period during which NFL teams can contact and conduct contract negotiations with certified agents of external players who will become unrestricted free agents upon the start of the new league year. The legal tampering period lasts until Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, which marks the start of the new league year. And the new league year is when the signings of unrestricted free agents from other teams can become official and when trades can officially be made. Trades have not been allowed to be officially made since the NFL trade deadline this past Halloween. Over the next few segments, I'm going to go through each of the reported acquisitions by the Commanders on Monday, but I'm going to begin with the fourth acquisition because that acquisition, while it likely was not the most significant acquisition, is the acquisition involving the most well-known name. We on Monday evening had multiple reports that the Commanders had agreed on a contract with unrestricted free agent running back Austin Eckler. Yes, a veteran running back. The Commanders are acquiring a veteran running back in free agency. This on the surface is a big time no-no, right? We know that good running backs can be found on the cheap in a variety of ways, most notably on days 2 and 3 of NFL drafts. We know that most running backs plummet at 30, and the 2024 season will be Eckler's age 29 season, and he's coming off a down season. Eckler, over 14 games in the 2023 regular season, had an NFL career worst yards per touch of 4.6. So if you don't like the Commanders signing Austin Eckler, I get it. I don't love it. But what I try to do with free agent signings is think about them from the perspectives of the teams, as in, okay, what might the team be thinking here? You have to have some humility with this stuff. The team knows a lot more than we do. So when our team does something like strike a deal with unrestricted free agent running back Austin Eckler, you say to yourself, okay, well, what might the Commanders be thinking here? Commanders General Manager Adam Peters, Commanders Assistant General Manager Lance Newmark, these are smart guys. I mean, they're well aware of the no-no that is paying veteran running backs at or near 30. So what might Peters and Newmark be thinking here? Well, a few things come to mind. First of all, the Commanders are paying Austin Eckler very little. The contract reportedly is a 2-year deal worth a max of $11.43 million. Not a 2-year $11.43 million deal, a 2-year deal worth a maximum of $11.43 million. We'll eventually get more specifics on the contract, but this is essentially a nothing contract. More in line with the contract that the Commanders are giving another unrestricted free agent, tight end Zach Ertz, as compared to the other deals that the Commanders reportedly struck on Monday. We last Wednesday afternoon had multiple reports that the Commanders had agreed on a 1-year contract with Ertz, a reported 1-year deal worth up to just $5 million. And what I said about that Ertz contract is this: the real value for NFL teams in free agency is in the short-term, low-money, low-risk potential high-reward contract. The Commander signing Zach Ertz to a 1-year deal worth up to just $5 million is exactly that kind of contract. And the Commander signing Austin Eckler to a 2-year deal worth a max of $11.43 million is exactly that kind of contract. The team is paying him next to nothing. If the contract works out, great. It is a steal of a deal. And if the contract does not work out, no harm. Now, it is interesting that we learned of the Commanders agreeing on this contract with Austin Eckler hours after we learned of Commanders unrestricted free agent running back Antonio Gibson agreeing on a reported 3-year $11.25 million contract with the New England Patriots. So Gibson is gone. He's younger than Eckler. Gibson is going into just his age 26 season. But the truth about Antonio Gibson is that he never truly became what we wanted him to become. You know, to me, with Antonio Gibson, The idea of Gibson ended up being a lot grander than the reality with Gibson. The idea when the Redskins took Gibson in the third round of the 2020 NFL draft out of Memphis was that he could be this great dual threat back for the Skins. Yet Memphis was a combo running back receiver. We heard was that Gibson could be the Skins' version of then Carolina Panthers running back and current San Francisco 49ers running back, Christian McCaffrey. And look, Gibson had his moments. It's not like Gibson did nothing with Washington. Gibson did some good stuff with Washington. But Gibson becoming a great dual threat back, Gibson becoming Washington's version of Christian McCaffrey never materialized. Okay, we never got close to that point. And the truth is that Austin Eckler has been what Antonio Gibson was supposed to be. Austin Eckler was a monster over the 2021 and 2022 seasons. Eckler, over 33 games in the 2021 and 2022 regular seasons, totaled 38 rushing slash receiving touchdowns and 3,195 yards from scrimmage. Those are video game-like numbers. And with Eckler, you can't just look at him as a pure running back. He, like Christian McCaffrey, is a combo running back receiver. Now, again, Eckler is coming off a down 2023 season, so it may well be that the Austin Eckler of 2021 and 2022 is gone for good, but maybe he has another productive season or two left. Do you remember running back Adrian Peterson? He came to the Skins appearing to be shot, but he, over the 2018 and 2019 seasons, did some good work for the Skins. Get this in mind, too. Austin Eckler has a history with Commanders run game coordinator slash running backs coach Anthony Lynn. Lynn was the Los Angeles Chargers head coach from January 2017 to January 2021. Eckler entered the NFL as an undrafted free agent out of Western Colorado with the Chargers in April 2017 and spent his first seven NFL seasons with the Chargers. He has only played for the Chargers in the NFL. A very interesting running back mix now for the Commanders. Brian Robinson Jr., Chris Rodriguez Jr., and Austin Eckler. Hey, please consider following the podcast if you're not already doing that. Following the podcast is free. If you have an iPhone, you can follow the podcast simply by tapping the plus sign in the upper right corner on the page listing the recent episodes of the podcast. The first unrestricted free agent who we on Monday afternoon, what was day one of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period, learned via multiple reports, was signing with the Commanders, was edge defender Dorrance Armstrong Jr. The contract reportedly is a three-year, $33 million deal worth up to $45 million. What matters the most with these free agent contracts is the guaranteed money. The sources for the reports of the terms of these free agent contracts are almost always players' agents who want to depict these contracts in the best possible way. So it's not worth digging too deep on the terms of these contracts until we get more detailed terms, but the Commanders' contract for Dorrance Armstrong Jr. is not some big money contract. 3 years, $33 million works out to an average annual value, an AAV of $11 million. The salary cap for the NFL's 2024-2025 league year is a record $255.4 million, and the Commanders, per overthecap.com, for this upcoming league year are set to have the most cap space in the NFL at $91.542 million and the most effective cap space in the NFL at $80.786 million. So $11 million per year for a starting edge defender is more than doable. We all knew that edge defender was a need for the Commanders going into free agency off them last Halloween, what was 2023 NFL trade deadline day, trading edge defenders Montez Sweat and Chase Young. But additionally, a number of the Commanders' many players who are becoming unrestricted free agents this week are edge defenders. James Smith-Williams, Casey Tuhill, F.A. Obata. I have a checklist that I like to run through regarding free agent signings for my teams. The checklist is as follows. A, how old is the player? B, how durable is the player? C, how productive has the player been? Where teams in all sports make mistakes in free agency is paying guys who are on the wrong side of 30 and or have significant injury histories and or have not been as productive as the basic stats suggest. So let us put Dorrance Armstrong Jr. through the checklist. Age. Well, Armstrong is young. The 2024 season will be just his age 27 season. One of the things that we've come to learn is that a pro athlete's prime is not what we thought it was. Growing up, my sense of a pro athlete's prime was between the ages of, say, 28 to 32, something like that. But research, especially in MLB and the NBA, has shown that a pro athlete's prime is more between the ages of, say, 24 to 28. The prime years happen sooner than we thought. Now, the NFL is tricky because position matters. Running backs fall off a cliff at 30. Quarterbacks often have done their best work post 30. But with the position of edge defender, I do think that if you're spending money on a guy, you very much want him in his mid-20s or his mid-ish 20s. And sure enough, Dorrance Armstrong Jr. is going into just his age 27 season. Has he been durable? Yes, he has been. He spent his first six NFL seasons, 2018 through 2023, with the Dallas Cowboys, who took him in the fourth round of the 2018 NFL draft out of Kansas. And Armstrong, over his first six NFL seasons, played in 93 of a possible 99 regular season games. That is durability. Does that guarantee great health for him during his time with the Commanders? No, but the best predictor of future injury in pro sports is past injury. Armstrong comes to the Commanders with a minimal injury history. He, in each of the last two seasons, played in all 17 of the Cowboys' regular season games. And then production. So where NFL teams go wrong in paying edge defenders is paying for sacks when the underlying metrics aren't there. Sacks are great, but sacks can be fluky, and sacks can be random. And so what you want with an edge defender who you're paying is not just sacks, but also for his underlying metrics, things like pressure rate and pass rush win rate, to be good. Armstrong, over the last three regular seasons, totaled 21 sacks, including 16 sacks over the 2022 and 2023 regular seasons. That's good considering his limited playing time. More on that in moments. But Armstrong, over the last three regular seasons, also had solid pressure rates. He, for each of the last three regular seasons, had a pressure rate per Pro Football Focus of at least 11%. That's not a great pressure rate, but that is a solid pressure rate. A great pressure rate would be like 15, 16, 17%. Now, a fair question about Dorrance Armstrong Jr. is whether more playing time might expose him. Armstrong, over his first six NFL seasons, started just 14 of the 93 regular season games in which he played. He, in the 2022 regular season, played in all 17 of the Cowboys games, but on just 47.34% of the team's defensive snaps. He, in the 2023 regular season, played in all 17 of the Cowboys games, but on just 41.68% of the team's defensive snaps. The good production that he has provided for the Cowboys has come in a part-time role. Was less more, or will more be more? I do wonder about that. But of course, he, in signing with the Commanders, is signing with a team for which the head coach, Dan Quinn, was Armstrong's defensive coordinator for the last three seasons. Quinn was the Cowboys' defensive coordinator the last three seasons. And so there is a faith that we can have, a benefit of the doubt that we can give. Dan Quinn is not a dummy, okay? He is aware of Armstrong's production for the Cowboys having come in a part-time role. Quinn knows Armstrong well. I would guess that the Commanders' new defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr., who spent the last three seasons as the Cowboys' secondary coach and defensive passing game coordinator, knows Armstrong pretty well, too. And I would guess that the Commanders' new assistant defensive line coach, Sharif Floyd, who spent the 2023 season with the Cowboys as quality control and assisted defensive line coach, knows Armstrong pretty well, too. So there really shouldn't be any mystery with this signing. Dorrance Armstrong Jr. does not solve all concerns for the Commanders at edge defender. The team still has plenty of work to do at that spot, but Armstrong should help. And let's next get to another player plucked from the Cowboys who should help. The second unrestricted free agent who we on Monday afternoon, what was day one of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period, learned via multiple reports was signing with the Commanders was center Tyler Biadasz, who, like edge defender Dorrance Armstrong Jr., comes from the Dallas Cowboys. The contract for Biadasz reportedly is a 3-year, $30 million deal. That's not nothing, but in an NFL in which the salary cap for the 2024-2025 league year is a record $255.4 million, an average annual value, an AAV of $10 million for a starting center, is more than palatable. Let us look at Biadasz through the checklist prism: age, durability, and production. He is young. The 2024 season will be just his age 27 season. He has been durable. He spent his first four NFL seasons, 2020 through 2023, with the Cowboys, who took him in the fourth round of the 2020 NFL draft out of Wisconsin. Biadasz, over his last three NFL seasons, 2021 through 2023, played in and started 49 of a possible 51 regular season games. That is durability, and that really stands out given what has happened with Washington at center during that time. Washington, over the 2021, 2022, and 2023 regular seasons, dealt with extreme instability at center, right? Due to the injury problems of Chase Roullier and Tyler Larson in the 2021 and 2022 regular seasons, and the struggles of Nick Gates in the 2023 regular season. It's funny with Roullier, he was exceptionally durable for three seasons. He became the Redskins starting center beginning with the 2018 season. He, from the start of the 2018 season through the 2020 season, started 46 of a possible 48 regular season games. He, in the 2018 regular season and in the 2020 regular season, played on every Washington offensive snap. But then his injury problem started, and Washington has not been the same at center since. So hopefully that's now changing. Now, of course, the Commanders last March signed center Nick Gates as an unrestricted free agent. He was supposed to fix center. He did not fix center. He got benched. And we two Friday afternoons ago, March 1st, had multiple reports that the Commanders had informed Gates that they were going to release him. Washington has a nice history at the center position. Len Haas was the team starting center for the 1964 through 1977 season. Jeff Bostic was the team starting center for the 1981 through 1993 seasons. Casey Rabach was a pillar of durability as the team starting center for the 2005 through 2010 seasons. Chase Roullier, as mentioned, had a nice run for the 2018 through 2020 seasons. Will Tyler Biadasz be the next quality center for Washington? Let's hope. He certainly was good for the Cowboys, and that brings us to his production. Check this out. Biadasz, in the 2023 regular season, in playing in 16 of the Cowboys' 17 games, allowed a pressure on just 4.8% of pass blocks per the NFL's next-gen stats, ranking number 4 out of all qualified NFL centers, so those each with at least 300 pass blocks. Number 4 out of all qualified centers in the NFL. Not bad. For comparison's sake, Commander centers in the 2023 regular season allowed a pressure on 7.5% of pass blocks per the NFL's next-gen stats, the sixth worst such total in the NFL. Also, Biadasz for the 2023 regular season, it was number 12 among all qualified centers in the NFL in pass blocking grade per Pro Football Focus. The position of center matters. It especially matters when you have a young quarterback. And assuming that the Commanders will be getting a quarterback via their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, having a veteran center for the 2024 season is a good idea. A center can orchestrate protection calls, which were a problem for Nick Gates last season. A center, in a lot of ways, is the quarterback of the offensive line. A center can act as a big brother for a young quarterback, the actual quarterback. There are a lot of benefits, both tangible and intangible, to having a good center. Hopefully, Tyler Biadasz will be just that for the Commanders. And if you're wondering about Ricky Stromberg, well, he's still an unknown. The Commanders took Stromberg in the third round of the 2023 NFL Draft out of Arkansas. Stromberg played for Arkansas for the 2019 through 2022 seasons. He, in the 2019 season, made two starts at left guard and nine starts at right guard. And then he, for the 2020 through 2022 seasons, was Arkansas's starting center. But he, like most Commanders rookies last season, did not do much. He played on just 2.35% of the team's offensive snaps last regular season. The Commanders this past November 7th announced having placed him on the reserve injured list, this due to a knee injury. And remember, he, at least by the team's previous coaching staff, was being looked at as much, if not more, as a guard as a center. So it may not even be that he is a center in the NFL. Big week for the Commanders. A lot of great content right now at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. With everything happening with the Commanders, make sure that you're listening to this podcast. And if you're on Instagram, make sure that you're following at WSH on the Daily. WSH on the Daily just started in 2021 and yet has more than 25,000 followers and is literally daily. The page is updated every day. News, notes, reports, photos, graphics. WSH on the Daily is a page that properly sources and vets its news and information, doesn't just post anything that anyone says. WSH on the Daily is a great place at which you can converse with other Commanders fans regarding the team, the draft, free agency, and trades. WSH on the Daily responds to every single DM. WSH on the Daily is a page at which you can have fun, including the contest Name That Redskin and free Wallpaper Wednesday. And WSH on the Daily always has a great fresh look. If you're on Instagram, check out at WSH on the Daily and check out at WSH on the Daily's online shop, WSHonthedaily.com. Some outstanding gear, shirts, hoodies, excellent material, modern looks. So for smart, informative, fun, and engaging Commanders content, check out at WSHonthedaily on Instagram. And for great merch, visit WSHonthedaily.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, the third unrestricted free agent who we on Monday, which was a day one of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period learned by multiple reports was signing with the Commanders, was a linebacker, Frankie Louvu. Frankie Louvu, unlike the first two guys, edge defender Dorrance Armstrong Jr. and center Tyler Biadasz, does not come from the Dallas Cowboys. No, Louvu comes from, wait for it, Carolina. Yeah, Louvu is a Commander. Ron Rivera may no longer be the Commander's head coach, but the Commander craze continues.
Growth and development.
Yes, growth and development. Thank you, Ron. Your influence still is being felt with our team. I really like the Commanders getting Frankie Louvu. And I say that as someone who believes that the linebacker position doesn't mean what it used to mean. The linebacker position has been devalued significantly in recent NFL history, but that doesn't mean that the linebacker position doesn't matter. Linebacker does matter, and Frankie Louvu is a good linebacker. The contract for Louvu reportedly is a three-year deal with a max value of $36 million. Louvu, like Dorrance Armstrong Jr. and Tyler Biadasz, checks all three of the checklist boxes: age, durability, and production. The 2024 season will be Louvu's age 28 season, so age check. He entered the NFL as an undrafted free agent out of Washington State with the New York Jets in May 2018. He was with the Jets for the 2018 through 2020 seasons and was with the Panthers for the 2021 through 2023 seasons. Louvu, over his three seasons with the Panthers, played in 48 of a possible 51 regular season games. So durability, check. And then there is the production. And spoiler alert, check. Frankie Louvu is what you call an analytics darling. I would not be surprised at all if he comes to the Commanders highly recommended by their top analytics guy, Senior Vice President of Football Strategy, Eugene Shen. Shen has got to love him some Louvu. Pro Football Focus grades are on a scale of 0 to 100. Louvu, for the 2023 regular season, played in all 17 of the Panthers' games and registered the following grades per PFF. An overall grade of 80, that's good. A pass rush grade of 90.1, ranking number one among all qualified NFL off-ball linebackers. Yeah, Louvu can rush the passer. He, for the 2023 regular season per PFF, generated 20 quarterback pressures and 5.5 sacks. He, for the 2022 regular season per PFF, generated 23 quarterback pressures and 7 sacks. But maybe the best thing about Frankie Louvu, he is a linebacker who can cover. For how many years has Washington had linebackers who struggle in pass coverage? Well, Louvu, for the 2023 regular season, had the following rankings per the NFL's next-gen stats among 68 NFL linebackers, each with at least 25 targets. Number one in completion percentage allowed, 56.4. Number one in completion percentage over expected at minus 19.4%. The Commanders, for the 2023 regular season per the NFL's next-gen stats, allowed an NFL worst completion percentage over expected of plus 6.1% on targets in the middle thirds of fields. In other words, bad pass coverage by linebackers, and also others. I mean, that wasn't just a linebacker thing, but the Commanders' last regular season, big-time problems covering passes in the middle thirds of fields. Frankie Louvu, last regular season, the best linebacker in the NFL in terms of pass coverage. And widening the view, Louvu, over the 2021 through 2023 regular seasons, registered an overall grade for Pro Football Focus of 84.1, ranking number six among all qualified NFL linebackers during that span. Now look, it's not just about the analytics, okay? I am sure that the Commanders' new head coach, Dan Quinn, and the Commanders' new defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr., and the Commanders' new linebackers coach, Ken Norton Jr., watched ample tape on Frankie Louvu and liked what was seen. Otherwise, you don't just sign a guy based on a bunch of stats. But it is really interesting to me that Louvu stands out to this extent via the prism of advanced stats, because we know that the Commanders, with Josh Harris as managing partner, are becoming bigger on analytics. And perhaps that was a guiding light in this signing of Frankie Louvu. He's also very versatile. He can be used in a variety of ways. He absolutely can serve as the Commanders' Mike linebacker. Let me make this clear. Frankie Louvu instantly becomes the Commanders' number one linebacker. There's no debating that. He, not Jamin Davis now, is the Commanders' number one linebacker. Now, maybe Jamin ends up having the better 2024 season. Who the heck knows? But right now, if you are establishing a hierarchy of Commanders' linebackers, Frankie Louvu is number one. Jamin Davis is number two. I'm a big fan of the Commanders getting this guy, who has a great name, Frankie Louvu. Hey, if you enjoy this podcast, check out BGO Blind Pig, the official podcast of BGObsession.com. BGO Blind Pig is a roundtable discussion of all things Washington Commanders football. Lots of good and passionate Commanders conversation from Commanders fans who know the team well. You can find the BGO Blind Pig podcast on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, or on any major podcast provider. Make BGObsession.com the home for your burgundy and gold obsession, and make the BGO Blind Pig podcast one of your weekly DC football listens. We late night on Monday night had the final two unrestricted free agents with whom the Commanders on day one of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period reportedly agreed on contracts. Guard Nick Allegretti and kicker Brandon McManus. The contract for Allegretti reportedly is a 3-year $16 million deal. Is he being signed to be the Commanders' new starting left guard? The 2024 season will be his age 28 season. He has been with the Kansas City Chiefs. They took him in the seventh round of the 2019 NFL draft out of Illinois. He spent his first five NFL seasons with the Chiefs, mostly as a reserve, but he for the Chiefs win in Super Bowl 58 just a few weeks ago, the 25-22 overtime win over the San Francisco 49ers at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada on February 11th, was the Chiefs starting left guard. Nick Allegretti started that game for the Chiefs. He played on 100% of their offensive snaps in the game, despite suffering a torn UCL during the game. Torn UCL, that's the injury that leads to pitchers in baseball undergoing Tommy John surgery. Allegretti suffered that injury during Super Bowl 58 and yet did not miss a single one of the Chiefs' offensive snaps. So this guy is tough, and it would seem that he's being brought in to, at the very least, compete for the Commanders' starting left guard spot. I don't think that that contract dictates that he be the starting left guard, but 3 years, $16 million does suggest that he could be the Commanders' starting left guard. Brandon McManus, he reportedly is getting a 1 year, $3.6 million contract, and the Commanders getting him, of course, means a bye-bye to Joey Sly as the Commanders' kicker. He's becoming an unrestricted free agent this week. The 2024 season will be McManus's age 33 season. He was with the Denver Broncos for the 2014 through 2022 seasons and was with the Jacksonville Jaguars for the 2023 season. Commanders general manager Adam Peters worked for the Broncos for eight seasons, 2009 through 2016. So he and McManus did overlap with the Broncos for a few years. McManus, over his 10 NFL regular seasons, has gone just 45 of 82 on field goal attempts of at least 50 yards. That's not good. 45 of 82, especially when you consider that he kicked in the mile-high air of Denver for years, and yet he has gone just 45 of 82 on regular season field goal attempts of at least 50 yards. But McManus has been excellent on field goal attempts between 40 and 49 yards. The over his 10 NFL regular seasons has gone a stellar 72 of 84 on field goal attempts between 40 and 49 yards, 85.7%. And how about this? McManus over the last four regular seasons, 2020 through 2023, 37 of 39 on field goal attempts between 40 and 49 yards. Good for a field goal percentage of 94.9, the highest such percentage among all NFL kickers, each with at least 20 such attempts during that span. And McManus has been good on extra point attempts. He, over his 10 NFL regular seasons, has made 97.2% of his extra point attempts. Joey Sly, he has struggled on extra point attempts. Sly, over his five NFL regular seasons, has made just 88.5% of his extra point attempts. And let's talk some Capitals before we call it a show, although there's not much to say with what went down with the Caps on Monday night. They began a five-game road trip with a 3-0 loss at the Winnipeg Jets. The Caps for this NHL regular season now are 30-24-9, still are fifth in the 8-team Metropolitan Division at 69 points. The Jets are a very good team. They have the third most points in the Western Conference at 87, and the Caps on Monday night got outclassed. How about the puck possession battle? The Caps had just 23 shots on goal to the Jets 29, but the Caps per natural stat trick had just 43 5-on-5 shot attempts to the Jets 68, including just 5 5-on-5 high danger shot attempts to the Jets 17. The Caps got more than tripled up by the Jets in 5-on-5 high-danger shot attempts. The Caps in this game in 5-on-5 play got demolished. They went 0-of-1 on the power play. Jets goaltender Connor Hellebuck had a Hellebuck of a game. He stopped all 23 of the shots on goal that he faced for the shutout. Charlie Lindgren was the Caps starting goaltender. Once again, 18th time in 24 games, he stopped 26 of the 29 shots on goal that he faced. The Caps went 1-of-1 on the penalty kill. Also, winger Tom Wilson did not play due to an upper body injury. A bright spot for the Caps was that TJ Oshie was back. He returned from a 7-game absence caused by an upper body injury that he suffered in the Caps 5-3 win at the Tampa Bay Lightning on February 22nd. Oshie on Monday night served as the Caps' third line right wing. Still out due to injury for the Caps are center Nick Dowd and defenseman Martin Fehervaari. Here was Caps head coach Spencer Carberry during his postgame session with reporters on Monday night on his team getting shut out. And then you'll hear a follow-up exchange with Caps insider Billy Johnson of the Washington Post.
Well, they had the puck for 75% of the game, so that makes it difficult to create anything offensively. And then when we did, just not nearly a good enough job getting to the interior, zero traffic on Hellebuck. So anything that we did generate scoring chance-wise, he saw it clean. And obviously everybody knows if he sees the shot, he's going to stop it. So that it's not a recipe for success against this team.
What made maintaining possession so difficult?
Just right from the start. I mean, it just felt like me when I was standing there watching it. It was just bigger, faster, stronger. Every facet. They just were... So you got to tip your cap. Like, that's a really good team that just got better with Toffoli and Monahan and those guys. It just felt like they were bigger, stronger on pucks, and they were just way quicker than us everywhere.
Yet, you know, the Caps had been 7-2-1 over their previous 10 games. The Caps this season do just enough to keep you interested, but never enough to make you feel great about the team. And next up for the Caps are games on back-to-back nights. The Caps are at the Edmonton Oilers Wednesday night at 10, and then are at the Seattle Kraken Thursday night at 10. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Wednesday show, episode 782, will include a lot for you on the Commanders, off Tuesday being day two of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period. Also on Wednesday show, I'll talk Wizards. Will they turn their two-game winning streak into a three-game winning streek? The Wizards are at the third-worst team in the Western Conference, the Memphis Grizzlies, a Tuesday night at 8. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.